Welcome back, party people. We are coming to you live from the Talent Acquisition Content Lounge powered by Olio. It's Recruiting Daily Sourcing School. It's me, Brian Fink. It's him, Ryan Leary.
What's up?
Rye, what's going on?
Not much, man. We've got a, what do you call it, a concert? Maybe?
We've got a woman who is talking. She's trying to hype everybody up to believing that Taylor Swift is coming. And just to let you know, Taylor Swift is not
She's not here.
No,
U2 is here.
U2 is here. Yeah, and they're playing at the Sphere. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are playing, we are playing the 20 questions game with Alper, who is the chief product officer at Findom. What's going on, Alper? How are you?
All right.
How's the intro? You like it?
Okay.
All right, 20 questions. Are you ready?
No.
Okay, that was question number one. Question number two.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Probably.
Probably.
Oh, he didn't even think about it. All right.
He's thought about that.
Yeah, he's thought about that.
What's another good one? Toilet paper over or under?
So, hold on. It's like a mullet or a beard, right? That's what I try to teach Maddie. Alper, it's a beard if it goes over. If it goes under, it's a mullet. Yes. Okay, that is what I'm teaching my seven-year-old. Alper's looking at me going, I'm not letting you anywhere near my son, right? So that's awesome. Alper, you know, our last guest that was on, we were talking about the sourcing crisis that's taking place right now because a lot of recruiters are having to source for passive talent as opposed to having a sourcer to support them. I immediately think of Findom that you guys... I mean, that's what you do. You turn recruiters and you give them superpowers, your little robot that sits on their shoulder. What are you seeing coming down the pipeline for recruiters and sourcers? What's going on there?
Yeah. First of all, let me acknowledge that I'm with experts here. We're coming from the technology side, and last 3 years or so, we've been trying to surround ourselves with domain experts just to understand these pain points more. Once you understand the pain point, like we have the technology down so we can like, you know, create those workflows, et cetera. And as you probably know, and I'm happy to go into detail, we have this 3D data platform that we've been powering since the inception of the company, which is like the core differentiator. So basically for the what we've been doing in the last year was like we're more known as the sort of outbound company. You know, just if you in a hot market, obviously you need that and that sold quite well. But we also realized that, you know, as things slowed down, like, you know, 80% of hiring started to become from inbound sources. So we actually, like, started leveraging the platform to inbound and outbound workflows. This is like, you know, rate all the candidates, and like score candidate scoring, ATS refresh and rediscovery. We built our own CRM, all those
things. Why is ATS rediscovery important? It just for the people who think that they need to go find a new candidate every time. Jump into this.
Yeah, I mean, again, like they already showed affinity to your company.
Yeah.
They will listen when you sort of hit them up. They will have higher likelihood of, like, you know, opening that email, opening that LinkedIn message, etc. And it's much cheaper. I mean, to be honest, like you already have that data. You don't have to go like advertise and all that sort of stuff. It's just like nonsense if you have the data.
It's faster, it's cheaper.
Faster, cheaper, opens better, and probably, you know, someone that's interested in you and not like someone you're chasing. So there's also psychology attached to it. And the issue is that, you know, especially large companies, they've been messing, like, you know, I don't know, like Microsoft existed for like 30 plus 40 years. Like, imagine like the data asset they have.
Oh, they've got to have a database of at least a million people.
Per month, I would say. Like,
yeah.
Everyone applies, right? So, like, how do you actually, there's a bunch of issues there. First, it gets stale, right? So maybe I applied to, I don't know, a company like 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
A lot of things change.
Even like 3 months ago, things change, number one. Number two, ATSs don't necessarily have good search capabilities to the degree of Findom, right?
Tell me more.
Okay, so let's
Keyword searching.
Keyword search. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole today. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's nothing wrong with keyword. Like the concept we're trying to introduce and hopefully doing an okay job is this 3D data, right? So it's not just about like what I tell about myself or what I don't tell about myself but do have. It's more like, you know, what's the objective truth out there? So the way to get that in our model is like we have maps, 750 million people data against 4 million company data over a timeline. So why is that interesting? So I may say I'm a startup person. I love startups. I love startups on my LinkedIn resume, but I may not have been on a startup. Like, and what is a startup, right? Is like a LinkedIn a startup? Is like Olio a startup? Is Findom a startup? what you can do is actually there's an objective truth to that. Like if a company has received Series A, Series B, Series C, Series like a D, like those are objective states of a company. So what you can do if you map those data, you can say, hey, this person existed at this company as a salesperson between Series A's and Series C, as opposed to this person as a startup person. Opposite example. I found a couple companies, you know, I still have to work, so like nothing super successful. But like, I won't say like I'm a startup guru or anything like that on my resume, right? Like I started companies, etc. There's no keyword that says startup that would differentiate me from someone else. But actually a finding system will know this guy started companies or existed in companies when they were Series A and scaled them. So that's one example of like, you know, objectifying like the data out there. So you can run things like, give me a list of Python developers who understand the chaos of a startup, i.e. like they exist in a startup A, startup
sure,
B,
sure,
series
yeah, yeah.
thing. Same thing with Python or Java developers, right? I may say Python, Java. Is it the coffee that I'm talking about? Is it like the snake that I'm talking about? Or is it actually... So what we do in that case is like we map you to your GitHub profile or like, you know, your Stack Overflow profile and say, okay, this person has actually committed like a Python or Java code. So we know objectively this person has mm-hmm. done this. So the source doesn't have to have that paranoia of going back and forth. Does he really have startup? Does he really have like the verified code skills? And that sort of generalizes to like 10,000 or so attributes. Like, is this an athlete? Does this person have a blog? Does this person have like a did this person finish their PhD quickly? You know, are they do they have publications in like a molecular biology? Are they cited? Have they built diverse teams? Like, this is all data that's out there.
This is all
you
can find them.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the data's out there.
Well, the data's
out there.
But
they're making sense of it.
Yeah.
I want to dial down on a dichotomy that you created. You did the specificity and the topography for engineers, and you also mentioned salespeople. Those are two diametrically opposed groups of people. How does Findom know the difference? Or can you spill that secret sauce?
Yeah.
Can you tip the tea?
Without sounding too controversial, like we don't necessarily go after a keyword when we scrape the public data. Like there is a layer that collects the data and then you derive meaning from it. For instance, like I don't say like go get me enterprise account execs. I say get me all titles that you can publicly find in the world. And then, like, you know, like, you may come and be interested in, like, account executives. You may be interested in, like, you know, like, developers. Someone else may be interested in, like, you know, HR people, etc. So we have curated, like, hundreds and thousands of, like, titles, obviously, and then all that sort of stuff. And, like, in the case of, like, enterprise account execs, for instance, you can look up things like, have they been a President's Club person? Have they been groomed under a really good CRO? Have they worked at a, say, few startups, then a big company, and then a startup? Like, you can set all the patterns like a CRO would hire, and then express those. Express those in actual our Gen AI interface. Like, you can just say what you want.
Sure.
Literally say or speak.
And then that will generate. MIT engineers in Boston who have experience in data science that waited tables at a pizza restaurant.
Last bit is a bit tricky.
Okay, all right. I had to see how far we can go.
You got 85% though, right? So you're the something you said though, Albert, was really interesting to me is when we're able to search for a manager, say manager level individual, who you know based on information and org charts in the company, they've built diverse teams. So we can say, I want a middle manager, software developer, whatever it's going to be, who has experience, who has built a diverse team. And then you can pull that information and make that.
I can break it down. Just to demonstrate the point, if you entered an organization and then the breakdown of the organization, we have diversity data as well, was let's say 50-50, and like, you know, you're in the tenure for another like 3 years, and the it's like now you know I don't know, like a more equal, like a better sort of team, you know, that data, the data is out there, but like it's very, very hard to mine that data as an individual, because like, you know, as a sourcer you have like 200 recs and 200-300 candidates each, the complexity is huge,
right?
So now, you need the automation there to serve you up. And the hiring manager will tell you like one line, like, hey, I need like B2B salespeople, like, you know, with IBM experience, you work for this guy when this guy was the CRO there in Seattle. That's it. It's like a sentence or two. And you express that and the sourcer can just see like the candidates that exactly meet those criteria.
Now, can you get down to project level, meaning a developer at a company worked on this particular specific project at that competitor?
If it's publicly available, you will have that against the candidate.
Okay.
And what we recently have done is the following. Like, let's get into AI a little bit. Let me actually like follow up on the ATS. Why is that important conversation? If you have this data and we refresh your ATS data, which we do, meaning like we look at everyone, we refresh them, like make them current and make it searchable. Now you can search with this kind of depth that we're talking about, not just in the outbound. You can search for these candidates in your inbound applicants as they come in and say, hey, this is a good fit, this is a great fit, this is not a fit. In your ATS, you can sort of search the entire, refresh the ATS and like bring candidates to the front.
Yeah.
In your CRM, anyone that was in our talent community that fits the bill. In your alumni, meaning did we ever have people that fit the bill that used to work for us? In your own company, like, do we have people that fit the bill in my company as we speak? All that gets served up in one flow. That's the beautiful thing about like the consolidation that the platform enables you, right?
Interesting. That is food for thought. All right. So we're kind of wrapping up on time here.
Perfect.
You lead product at Findem. Can you give us an idea of what's going to, I'm asking you to spill the tea, you know, I know, and we're, you know, what's happening in the next 6 months? What's the roadmap?
Yeah. Big surprise coming, right?
Okay. Big surprise.
AI, for which you can, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Like our investment
AI
is it? Yeah, I don't, yeah.
Okay, if you can't, you can't, and I understand that.
No, I'll definitely.
But you got to promise me that you'll come back on and you'll do the show again with Ryan and I when it's time to make that announcement.
Yeah, we'll make. We're getting into like a workflow and how to think about workflows, like more superpowers for the sourcers, basically, because we sort of mapped out like 25 flows that they do day to day. And parts of that we can just automate, so they don't have to do this like data piping, this like, you know, the background engineering
of
stuff.
Okay, cool. I got you.
So that stuff can be automated. And then what we're trying to do is really, really like lessen the load on them, so they can really focus on the candidate experience. And the way we do this is like through like AI powered like interfaces, etc.
Okay,
we'll talk more again.
All right,
so much for having me.
6 months, we'll have you on the big show. All right. We have been, it's Brian, it's Ryan. We are at the Talent Acquisition Content Lounge that is powered by Olio with Recruiting Daily Sourcing School. And it has been my pleasure to have the Chief Product Officer from Findem, Mr. Alper. Thanks for joining us, sir.